Thank you for joining us on EZ's Community Focus, taking a look at the issues that matter in South Florida and the organizations and the people that are making a difference. I'm Ellen Jaffe. It is particularly appropriate on Independence Weekend that we talk about one of the main things that the fight for independence awarded us, free and open elections. I could not be happier to welcome the Supervisor of Elections for Broward County, Dr. Brenda Snipes. Busy time for you?
It's a very busy time, but this is one of the most important things we can do. Different ways of getting information out to the voters.
Yeah, it is so important. It seems more important this year than even in past presidential election years. You and I spoke momentarily before the program about how particularly nasty this election season has been and seems to be getting even more so.
Well, I think there's been an edge to the election that we've not seen in recent years. But what we hope to do is just give the voters enough information about where, when, and how to vote, get them engaged in the process so that they can have their voices heard, so that the candidates can pay attention to what these voters are saying, what these voters are thinking, and what they're hoping to see from their elected officials.
Or so that they can choose to change the candidate.
Exactly.
Or the representatives, mm-hmm. if that is the case. So let's talk about, before we even get into election dates, voter registration.
Voter registration is always ongoing. What we find during election season is that there are a lot of different groups and organizations who are conducting voter registration, so that's very helpful. But what I would say to those groups and organizations is to make sure that they're getting the information into us as quickly as possible so that we can get it into our system, because it's very discouraging if a person goes out to vote and they think they've done all their information and gotten it in, and it gets to us late, then that presents a problem. So we also want the voter to check with our office to see if they're, to check the status. We call it checking your status, meaning checking what's on your record to determine whether or not it's accurate and whether or not it's up to date. They can do that on the website by going to BrowardSOE.org and clicking on My Precinct, and their information will come up, and they can check to see if that information is correct. We will also be sending out, in the next few days, new voter information cards. We've had the last round of redistricting finished, I don't know, maybe a couple of months ago, and we were just more comfortable sending a new voter information card, which reflected, which will reflect the current, the person's current districts. And also on that card, we're spelling out the name of their political party affiliation. Usually we'll put Rep or Dem or NPA or what have you. This time we're actually spelling out the name. So when those cards arrive at the voter's home, we want them to act like it's the holiday. And just open that card, tear it open, read it, look at it to see if everything we have printed there is actually as it should be. And if it's not, they need to get in touch with us so that we can replace the card.
So why the spelling out the name? Just to get attention?
Because just to bring it to their attention. When we went through the March primary a few months ago, the presidential preference primary, there were a lot of voters who said, well, I'm not NPA. I've always voted Rep or Dem. That may be true, but Rep or Dem, it doesn't matter your party affiliation in the general election.
Right.
But for the primary, it's critical.
Right.
Because Florida is a closed primary state. So when the voter gets the card, we want that to be one thing that jumps out at them. If you're a Democratic party member, that's fine. A Republican party member, that's fine. But if it says NPA and that's not what you want to be, then we need that voter to be in touch with us so that we can change the record and get them a new card.
Okay, that's no party affiliation.
No party affiliation.
Anyone is wondering. Okay. Now, I got my new card recently, and I have a different polling location for the first time in years and years and years. Another reason to check the card.
And on the card that we're sending out, we found that a few years ago that it's important to let the voter know why they get in a card. It doesn't go into great detail, but the notation is going to say redistricting. If there has been a polling place change, it's going to say redistricting / polling place change.
Okay.
So they'll know exactly why they're getting that card, and they won't, you know, they won't have to call the office. It's going to tell them right there on the face of the card.
Okay. What is your expectation for turnout for the upcoming August and November elections.
I guess what my hope is that folks are going to get energized around the primary election. There are so many voices out there saying get registered, vote in the primary because it's a local election. So my hope is that we're going to see an increase in numbers. And a lot of times the primary always carries a low turnout. It doesn't have to. The folks that need to vote are people who live in Broward County, and we make information available through as many different mediums as possible. We go everywhere this coming weekend, and for several weekends going forward, we're going to do outreach at the beach.
Wow.
I'll have staff at the beach. We're starting at Deerfield. I'll have staff at the beach. They're going to be out there with clipboards. They'll be out there with voter registration forms, taking pamphlets and other brochures to talk to people about making sure they're registered, checking their status, and voting.
Excellent.
I love having a million voters on the roll. That's wonderful.
Let's have a million votes
let's
to go along with it.
Let's have a million votes to go along with it.
Tell people who may not have bothered to go to primary elections and vote before why it's so important.
Well, you know, the general election is where anyone can vote on any candidate that's on the ballot. But in the primary election, that's an opportunity to vote for the person that you want to be the nominee for the general election. There are so many local races on the ballot. We have the county commission seats. I think there may be about four of those that are going to be on the ballot. Everybody lives in a county commission district. You either live in district 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to 9. Each district is going to have a person who represents that district. Mm-hmm. So it's important that we vote because we want that person to know that we're out there, that we have a voice, and that we have concerns that we want you to be accountable for and pay attention to. So we've got county commission. We're going to have school board members. Now, school board members are nonpartisan, so it won't matter about your party affiliation. County commission representatives do run by party.
Right.
They do run by party. So if you want to vote for the Democrats, you got to be a member of the Democratic Party. You have to want to vote by a Republican, the same thing.
So similar to where in the primaries in March,
exactly.
If you were in no party affiliation, you couldn't vote.
You couldn't vote.
Same thing here
mm-hmm.
for the local.
Mm-hmm. Now, there
basis.
Will be more things that a non-party affiliated person or a minor party affiliation person could vote for. One of those is the judges. I'm not sure how many judicial seats are up this year, but there are several. And the judges have power over our lives based on mm-hmm. how they interpret and implement the laws. So they need to hear from us. And judges, folks will say, well, I don't know anything about the judges. Pay attention to the social media. The judges are out just about every day, every night. They can only talk about themselves and their experience, but at least that gives you a little bit of an insight.
Oh, you can definitely get a sense
yeah,
of someone from
can,
what they're
exactly.
posting on social media.
Exactly.
Even if they're being as politically correct as
mm-hmm.
they try to be,
mm-hmm.
you still can tell by the language
mm-hmm.
and the choices
mm-hmm.
of things they focus
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the judges want people to become familiar with who they are, because that's how you're going to cast your vote.
Right.
So that's an important area. We have the constitutional offices, which are the sheriff, the property appraiser, the clerk of the circuit court, and the supervisor of elections. These people have significant responsibilities as it relates to the day-to-day living. And that's what the local people do. That's what the primary does. It gives you an opportunity to send a message to these people who live in your community, who you see in the grocery store, that are out shopping at the mall. These are people that make decisions about the quality of life on a local level.
Yeah. We're so used to focusing in on the big picture, but
that's
you
right.
know who ends up there
mm-hmm.
in Congress
mm-hmm.
and Senate
mm-hmm.
is the people who start locally.
Exactly.
And even until they're on the national mm-hmm. scale, they are affecting mm-hmm. the decisions that are made In the small things, you know, like what kind of zoning mm-hmm. is in your community mm-hmm. and how many police are mm-hmm. on your police force and where's the funding for education?
That's where it happens.
Exactly.
That's where it happens.
Okay. So let's say someone needs to register. How do you, I know you're going out literally to do the outreach, but what's the message you give them to get them engaged, and how can people engage friends or relatives or kids who haven't voted before?
You mentioned kids. I'm going to start with them. Our office conducts a high school voter registration drive every year. We've done that ever since I've been here. And we have a tendency in our office to put a little different spin on things. So we engage the young people in conducting the voter registration in their schools. And, of course, they do that under the supervisor of an assigned adult. And back in January, I believe it was, we conducted the voter registration because we wanted the kids to be able to participate in the March primary, and we registered over 14,000 kids.
Wow.
But the way that's made possible is we have a partnership with the Broward County Schools. We've had for a long time, and they allow us to use their Beacon communication system to do the distance learning training for the young people and the adults that have to leave their schools. So that has made a real significant difference for us, just being able to get directly into the schools, train the kids, and then my staff, we do a schedule. We go around to the schools to make sure everything is going according to the procedures. And as a result, we have 14,000 kids. So when it comes to an election, we actually engage the kids by training them to work in some component of the election. We have a lot of them who will work as voting system technicians. They'll be inside the polling places, and they'll be the ones making sure that the equipment is up and continuing to run properly during the course of the day.
Yeah, the kids are the best ones for
they
that now.
Are. And adults love having the kids in there. They feel comfortable knowing their kid is at the helm.
Right.
And we also use the young people to work in our call center. They serve as troubleshooters for the equipment. So we train them to do the registrations. We do the registrations. We encourage them to get involved in the as an election day worker, and we also encourage them to vote. We registered the students who pre-registered 16 and 17-year-olds.
I didn't know you could do that. Okay.
Oh, yes. We've done it ever since I've been here, and it's really a big program. And so we're hoping that things like that will get the young people to see the process firsthand and get them engaged and continue to keep them engaged. So we haven't done any kind of survey to see how many people are out there and actually voting, but they know about the process. They've been trained in it.
Fantastic.
They've been trained in it. And so what we also encourage families and communities to do, I speak at a lot of homeowner associations, mm-hmm. And they'll bring in candidates to talk to their groups about what they can bring to the table as a candidate. And then I go to a lot of the associations to talk about the process, about the election process. So we encourage members who are there at the homeowner association, go back home, talk to your kids about this process. Because what we're learning from the research is that children, young people, who have are engaged in discussions about elections, voting in their homes, are more likely to go out and be an active voter.
So are you actually suggesting people sit down for a family dinner?
Sit down for a family dinner. And if you can't sit down for a family dinner, just put the device down for a few minutes.
Yes.
And talk a little bit about election. We're talking about the future of our communities, the future of our state, the future of our country. So it's important. And everybody who is eligible to register is eligible to cast a vote.
Love it. What are the deadlines, starting with, to vote in the primary?
To vote in the primary, a person's record ought to be complete by August 1st, meaning they should have registered. If there's anything they want to update, they should do that. If they want to change a party, they need to send it to us in writing. And if they want to have their vote by mail ballot sent to a location other than what's on our database, they need to give us that information in writing. So it's not difficult. The website has a wealth of information. We have two very active locations that are open 5 days a week. We're downtown, 115 South Andrews Avenue. A person does not need an appointment to come in and get information or to give us information. Walk in the door, say what you need, it's taken care of. So that's at our downtown office as well as at the Voting Equipment Center. We've made an office over there. We receive voters over there. They can get the same kind of assistance at the Voting Equipment Center as they can at the office downtown. And on 2 days a week, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I believe we're from 1 to 6, we're in Pompano at the EPET Larkins location, which is on Atlantic Boulevard and Northwest 8th Avenue, I believe.
Okay.
And so they can go there, register to vote, get information about their account, information about dates, timelines, and things like that. So the August primary is approaching. We'll have the three ways to vote. We'll have the vote by mail, and I'm using that word intentionally because that is now a law change for us. The terminology changed from absentee ballot to vote by mail.
Okay.
And Broward has joined several other large counties in the state. We are placing return postage on the vote by mail envelope. So if a person, anybody can choose to vote by mail. If you're a registered voter, that can be your preferred way of voting. You let us know, we'll send you that ballot, vote the ballot, put it in the pre-postage paid envelope, and send it back to us. Now, I will say, some folks are very traditional. They like to hand that ballot, I call it handing it to another person, hand to hand.
Right.
They want to see the person they're handing that ballot to. That's okay. They can come to our office, either of the Voting Equipment Center. We accept drop-off ballots there. They can bring it downtown. But if they're bringing a ballot, they're going to have to sit there and fill out information. Sometimes they're bringing a ballot for 10 people in their neighborhood or more. And they can do that.
You can.
It's perfectly fine.
Okay.
But if you bring it in, you have to sign it in.
Okay.
We want to know who brought in whose ballot.
Okay. So you've got a record and you've got somewhere to trace back for every single ballot that
every
comes
ballot
in.
Every ballot that's dropped off. And lots of ballots are dropped off.
Mm.
And but if a person is working for a candidate, if they're getting paid any kind of payment at all, if I buy you a tank of gas, if you collect these ballots, I'm a candidate, you're working for me, I pay you in a tank of gas, you can bring two ballots in during an election season. You can bring two for the primary and two for the general.
Okay.
So otherwise,
so you have done a great job of keeping the the partisan politics out of the process.
Yes.
So that only it's your friends can take your ballot in for you. And if your friend happens to work for a candidate, sorry.
Can't do
unless you're one of the two for the whole season.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, we've got to do some myth-busting here because I know there are always those who are going to say, but when you mail in a ballot, they never open it.
I love that. You know, what we invite people to do really is that we start a canvassing ballots 15 days out from the election. And the closer we get to the election, you know, of course, we're finishing up that processing. But we touch every single ballot envelope that comes to our office. And I use the word touch because if we touch the envelope and it has the voter's signature in the appropriate place, then we're going to open that ballot and start to process it. If the signature is not there, we touch the ballot, but according to election codes of Florida, we must stamp that ballot as illegal, can't open it, because the way we verify that that ballot belongs to Susan Mitchell is that Susan Mitchell's signature is on the ballot. And my staff has been trained in forensic signature verification, so they're very familiar with how to compare signatures. If there's a signature that doesn't match or it looks a little bit different, it goes before the canvassing board. My staff doesn't make that decision. They set that ballot aside. When the canvassing board goes into session on election night, they're going to look at that ballot, at the signature. They're going to request samples of signatures from what may be on file for that voter, and we'll make a determination.
And,
but it doesn't just grow. But we touch Everything a ballot.
But you don't start opening those until election night.
We actually open them 15 days
before. Oh, you can start 15 days before.
By law, we can do that. We run them through our system. The votes are sitting there. It is a felony for anyone to release information about those votes. But at 7 o'clock on election night, we're going to press a button. The first results that come out will be absentee ballot voting.
Very interesting.
The first votes that come out. And we don't have a lot of people who come to our office, but we do set up a galley so that if someone wants to come and see the votes rolling in, they can do that. They can do that.
Do you need to pre-reserve a spot for that?
No. Just we start at 7 o'clock. The doors are open. Just come and have a seat.
And you stay open throughout the entire...
Until we're done.
Can and we have a party there?
We're too tired to have a party.
That has to be a fascinating process.
It is so fascinating.
And I wonder how many people who watch then end up volunteering or wanting to become an official working part.
We get quite a few folks. We always need people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're training now, as a matter of fact. I think we started our training on the 13th of June.
Is there a deadline? When is it too late for someone who says, I would like to work?
We will stop training about 2 weeks before the actual election day because we have to have everybody assigned to a location. But we like to have backups because sometimes a person may have a car. I had one man who fell and broke his arm in his kitchen, but he came to work, and we had to send him home.
Mm.
We sent him to the doctor, as a matter of fact. But we'll take people up to 2 weeks before the election. That gives us a chance to get them trained and get them placed. And whatever they need to know to be successful as a worker on election day, we train them to do that. And if a person trains on some of the equipment and they don't really feel comfortable about it, we set up a laboratory where they can come back in and our staff will take them, walk them through the processes in a hands-on activity with the equipment. We also, they have to pass a test. We have to certify that they have mastered the information, because when voters come in, they don't want to encounter someone who doesn't know what they're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
So up until 2 weeks before, you can still take part in the
mm-hmm.
training. Now, is that, again, starting over for the November election?
According to the election code, Florida election code, every worker must be trained prior to every election.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So even if you've trained for the primary, mm-hmm. you have to train again.
Train again.
For
there
the
may
November.
Be some things that are different. A primary is going to run a little bit differently based on what the workers have to do than the general election will. So we want to make sure that our workers are up to date, fully trained, and comfortable. Because if they're not fully trained, they don't feel comfortable, then we're not going to have a good experience for the voters.
What's the time investment to be trained?
I believe it's 4 hours. And our trainers, most of them have been in those positions, 10 or 11 years. Mm. So they're very good at what they do. And like I said earlier, if a person doesn't feel good about what they've learned, they can come back for more training, for hands-on opportunities, and they do that.
And for information about that, also go to the
website. Go to the website. There'll be a number that they can call, and just contact us. Let us know they want to be an Election Day worker. And we try to get workers as close to their homes as possible. Sometimes that's not always the case. If we need somebody in Southwest Broward, and you maybe live in Southeast Broward, we'll hope that you'll take that. And the next time, we will work to get them as close to home as we possibly can.
Okay. And a reminder, the website is BrowardSOE.org. Getting all the information from our supervisor of elections, Brenda Snipes. We started talking about the three different ways that people can vote.
We did.
So there was the mail-in ballot.
Then we have the early voting,
mm-hmm.
and for the primary, we're going to have 9 days of early voting, and I believe we have 9 hours. We got a lot of feedback from voters because we were originally scheduled to end the day at 6, although whoever would be in line could stay there until they're done. But we got a lot of feedback from voters that sometimes they get caught in traffic, they can't make it there at 6.
Right.
So we're going to extend to 7 o'clock. So we'll be there 9 days for 9 hours from 10 until 7. It will be in 20 locations. All of this information also is on our website. And folks will be pretty familiar with the locations because we've been using the same ones for a while. Mm-hmm. But we have kind of taken over a little bit more space in some of the locations that were small. And hopefully we won't have anyone who has to stand on the line. But we would encourage folks not to all show up on the first day and not to all show up on the last day. Kind of plan it.
Right.
9 days, 9 hours. Gives you quite a bit of time. You can come lunch break, come at the end of the day. Say if you're a senior, maybe not working, you can come 10 o'clock in the morning. That's not going to be a real busy time, not every day.
Right. And then Saturday and Sunday, too.
We got 2 Saturdays, 2 Sundays leading up to the election. So we've really tried to cover the waterfront in terms of the programs that we're putting out there. And for the general election, we'll be open, I believe it's 10 hours for 14 days.
Okay.
So we'll start 14 days out from the election and just go straight through, and we'll end each day at 7 p.m.
And what all of this has done, doing balloting by mail, mm-hmm. Instead of absentee balloting, mm-hmm. learning the new language, the early voting, has taken so much of a burden off the actual day of voting.
Election day, I call it precinct voting. If a person is in a real hurry and can't get to one of the early voting or doesn't like to vote by mail, then the election day is a great time to go. You usually can walk in, spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes. If a voter comes prepared, knowing how they want to vote, 5 minutes max, because we're going to check them in through the EVIT with their voter ID, and then they'll get their ballot. They know what they want to, how they want to vote. Vote the ballot. They're done.
We have come light years.
We have
in just a few years, yeah. really, in yeah. expanding the ways and the opportunities for people mm-hmm. to vote, and that mm-hmm. in itself is a reason for people to vote, because if we don't use that privilege, we may not be in a place where we have so
absolutely.
Much freedom and opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there's something out there for everybody.
Right.
You know, if you work, most people don't work 7 days a week.
Right.
If you work and you get the schedule, you see what the schedule is for early voting, take time and figure out what's going to be best for you. But like I said, the first day and the last day are usually our busiest days.
Okay.
But we'll be open 10 hours. So there's something there.
Well, the only thing beyond that is if you arrange for drive-through voting off I-95, and then we can say we all have the opportunity.
Right, right. But I tell you, you got the vote by mail. It comes right to your door. Vote at your kitchen table. Bring over some friends and talk about what you see there. Then vote your ballot independently, privately. But we need that ballot back by 7 p.m. on election night.
And it must be signed.
And it must
be
signed.
Be sure
signed.
To sign the envelope mm-hmm. and the ballot
That's
inside
right.
so
right.
it doesn't end up in the not valid pile. And you don't
exactly.
have any way of then returning it and say, get it back to us.
We'll keep it on file because we keep all of our ballots. I think it's 22 months.
Okay.
We'll keep it on file. And then, too, if a ballot comes in and it's not signed, the envelope isn't signed, we contact that person to say, we received your ballot. There is no signature. Complete this paper. Send it back in to us by 5 p.m. on Monday before the election. We will attach it to your document. Your ballot will count.
Okay. So you actually do
yes,
reach
we
out
do.
To people.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get much better service than that anywhere. So get all the details, get the dates, the August 1st deadline to register to vote, mm-hmm. and then for the November election, the deadline
the
to register.
The November election is 29 days out, which is going to put it around October 8th, somewhere in there, because we vote on November 8th.
Okay.
So it's probably going to be October 7th or 8th, but it's always 29 days before an election.
Okay. Thank you for your computer brain, because I want people to know you do not have a calendar in front of you. You've just been sitting here with the dates here and the dates here, and that is part of what makes our election system work so well is your supervision.
We really want it to be a good one.
Yeah.
We really do.
I thank you for everything you do. Please thank all your people at the department, because we know how hard they work, too.
Thank you. They would appreciate that, because they don't take it for granted. Everyone comes every day to do the best job they can possibly do, and they're successful. They certainly are.
All part of the process.
Yes.
Broward Supervisor of Elections, Dr. Brenda Snipes. The information is at browardsoe.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Easy's Community Focus, a look at the issues that matter in South Florida and the people and organizations that are making a difference. I'm Ellen Jaffe. Thank you for listening this morning. If you have comments or would like to suggest a topic, you can email me at ellen@easy93.com.